Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 278. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, and which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said, "Thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all that thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. She sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Gerald Maljars, whose grandfather passed away this past week in B.C. Mr. Bus DePuter, who is weak in the hospital, and also Dustin Grisnick, who has continuing difficulties at home. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, it is morning. It is morning of a new day, of a new week. It is morning of thy holy Sabbath day, instituted already before that we had fallen, instituted for the worship of thee. And now also given by thee as that day wherein man may hear the way of salvation. From that pit in which he has brought himself in his deep fall. And therefore, Lord, a double purpose. And for the first, we have by nature no desire to worship thee. We know thee not. We care not for thee. We believe not that thou art and who thou art. And for the second, for the need of our own soul, we are careless as we go over this world, indeed a form of religion, but we deny the power thereof. Lord, that thou may remember us in this morning hour, it is alone from thee that we can expect salvation. It is alone from thee that we can expect anything that is good, that is upright, and that will end in the glory of thy most holy and worthy name. It is from thee alone that we can expect, that we can look for that great need of our own soul as we travel to an eternity that shall never end. And therefore it is unto thee in this morning that we lift our voice as a congregation in a public ordinance instituted by thee, that we lift our voice to thee, Lord. We cannot give that our heart may be in the right place, but we have a mouth to speak, and thou commandest us to ask it of thee. Oh, may thou give then in our heart what is necessary to ask, and that the need may be born within, may be bound upon our soul, and that we may receive a true heartfelt need, a concern, a saving concern for the need of our soul, and that we may not have come up in this morning indifferent. And if it was indifferent from our side, Lord, then it is possible on thy side to make it different in a moment in this morning, that thou may take us then by heart and by hand, each and every one of us, and to lead us into thy truth, that truth that speaks about the reality of our condition by nature, that it is a condition and a state wherein that we are apart from thee. And if nothing changes, shall depart from thee forever and forever. And we cannot give to ourselves not the smallest concern for this matter. It needs to be wrought from above. Lord, we beseech it of thee then in this morning. Thou who hast all power given unto thee, and thou who hast come even to do the great work of salvation, to merit it, and to bring it to a full completion here upon this world, oh, that thou may also remember thy own covenant and what has been promised in that stillness of eternity, that there should also be a seed that shall serve him. Oh, that seed may be brought in this day, and that they may be called forth in this day, from the form of religion to the truth of religion, from a mere service of the lip to the service of the heart, from the cry of the mouth
to the supplication of the soul. Lord, grant it in thy mercy to each and every one of us, and that we would not end our life as we have begun it in this world, dead in trespasses and in sins, but that the means that thou givest us to use in this life, and that thou bestowest upon us the labors, and that thou givest to be bestowed among us from day to day and from week to week, oh, that they may not be in vain, but that that seed that may be sown by imperfect instruments and sowers here below, oh, that the precious seed of thy word may indeed fall into ground that is well prepared by thee. Lord, that thou may work, that thou may give the heat and the light of the sun of righteousness to shine in our wretched and our cold and stony hearts, and that life may be born, and that that seed that is sown may bring forth fruit, and that the rain of thy Spirit also may be bestowed upon us, and that also the health of the children of thy people and may be cared for by thee, and that thou may come to visit them from above in the times in which we live, that we must confess our dark times, and that we live in with our children in this world. Lord, Satan goes about to take their hearts. Oh, may thou look upon them in the days of their youth, and wilt thou plant a holy jealousy and for the true portion of thy church and for thee thyself, that it also may live in the hearts of these young people, who hope in this morning to make a public confession. Lord, there is much that lies behind them. In the year that has gone by, when we have met many times, and when we have spoken many times of the truths of thy holy word, and now it lies behind them, and that moment that has come upon them in this morning that we have often spoken of together, of the seriousness of this and what they hope to do. Lord, that thou would stand now on their right and on their left hand, and that the seriousness of this matter may be bound upon their hearts, and that thou may give to them to tremble within as they stand before the congregation, not only, but especially before thy holy countenance, and that that which they hope to promise, oh, that it may never testify against them, especially on that great day of days, but that in their hearts they may do it with a cry to thee, that thou may go before them in this, the work of their hands, and in the desire of their heart, that thou may look upon each and every one of us in this morning, and when we may look back upon that time that we have also stood in that place, and that we have also made such a confession. And thou knowest how that it is in the life of each and every one of us. Lord, that thou may bring it back unto us in this morning, because thou sayest, better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. Oh, then that thou may bind this matter upon us, and that we may be given to bow before thee and to seek the forgiveness of all our iniquities, but that it also may drive us and may draw us to thy throne of grace, that thou may give thy blessing. Look upon us as parents, when we may in this morning witness the confession of our own children. Lord, that thou may humble our hearts before thee, and that thou may give us still a cry that may go out for our seed, and that thou may give the application, and do look upon all that are afflicted and sick. Be with him that is lying in the hospital in this morning and is not able to be in our midst. And though thou knowest the desire of his heart, Lord, wilt thou strengthen him in the body? And may thou visit him in the place wherein he is, and wilt thou give health and strength that he may come up once again among us, and that thou may strengthen his wife and family and all that care for him, also the little child. Lord, thou knowest all the needs, the daily concerns, the cares, the fears, that thou may be on the right and on the left, and that thou may do a wonder for this child, and that thou may heal him. And oh, may thou bless these ways, Lord, that are not according to our flesh, because we have so much rebellion in our heart, that thou may humble also these parents and strengthen them to continue from day to day, and that they may truly be given to bow under all these ways, that it may be sanctified also unto them. Look on those that mourn. Thou knowest also those in our midst, Lord, that thou may supply in the needs of all that miss their loved ones, widows, widowers, and orphans, and sanctify and bless also these callings in the midst of us. Do remember all thy sent servants that go before the flocks thou hast entrusted to their care in this day, that thou may remember also our brother, who may be in our sister congregation here from the Netherlands in this day. Lord, that thou may look upon him in a special way, for he speaks not in his native tongue, and the mountains can be also for him so high in this day. Lord, that thou may be on his right and on his left in mercy, and that thou may give him to feel that thou art near. And to each and every one that is truly thrust forth by thee and is not able in this day to go forth in his own strength, Lord, that thou may show thyself, and that thou may bless the feeble efforts that are put forth by our hands. Oh, that thou may look upon this, our own flock. Oh, Lord, one word, one arrow in this morning between the joints of the harness. We beseech thee in this day, in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 49, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. All earth to him her homage brings, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. The last collection today is for our school, Psalter 49, all stanzas. There came men unto me, but I wished not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Is that true, boys and girls? Is that true? What was said here? But I wish not whence they were. Where congregation does the lie come from? The lie comes from hell. The lie that is so common in our world. That lie that is opposed to all truth. The lie that is opposed to God Himself. The lie that is from the enemy of God Himself, from Satan himself. What kind of place does the lie have within our own heart? Maybe sometimes it is said. Maybe sometimes it comes out of our mouth. Maybe sometimes it is not said. Maybe that lie is only lying in our heart. That we say, children, if my mother, if my father shall ask me, then I will say this, or then I will say that. And then the Lord prevents that that lie comes out of your mouth in the way of His providence when mother does not ask and father does not ask. But that lie that still lay in your heart, not known to men, known to you, and known to God, and showing something of the evil, the wretchedness of our sinful heart. We hope in this morning, congregation, to witness as a congregation once again confession of faith. How is that in our life? Was that also a lie? Then we do well to examine ourselves also in this morning when those questions shall be asked. Then do we also consider once again how that we have fulfilled that which we have promised in that day. If you read about Thomas Scott in the book The Force of Truth, which is worthy of our reading, and then you will find there a man who must confess that he made a very solemn oath, and that he did that in such a light way that was actually the oath for the ministry. And he says how that he had actually in his heart at that time no intention to do that which he had promised. And what a mercy of the Lord that that man was delivered in his own time from his own wretchedness. You say, how is it now with the case that is before us? There came men unto me, but I wished not whence they were. Say, is that not now different? We know the history. Is there not a cause? Is there not a righteous cause? And that this lie that is being told Must we not look at the motive? Must we not look at the intention, the desire, the final end? Congregation, the Lord does not need what is from hell to help him with his work. No, the Lord is able. The Lord is able, and he will bring to fruition his own work. But then we see that that lie is not only in the life of the wicked, but it is also in the life of God's true people, because we wish in this morning to consider something of who this woman was. Our text for this morning that can be found in Joshua 2, verse 11, the last part. Joshua 2, 11, the last part. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So far, the words of our text. Rahab's confession of faith. First, who made this confession? Second, what this confession consisted of? And third, the evidences of the truth of this confession. Rahab's confession of faith, first, who made this confession? Second, what this confession consisted of? Third, the evidences of the truth of this confession. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Faith. Faith is that which makes a great separation. Faith is that which separates this woman. Faith is that which separates the true church of God from this world. Not a self-proclaimed faith. No, that does not make a true separation. But that true saving faith planted in the heart by the Lord, that is that distinguishing mark from the side of God, because there are not three, four, five. No, there are two kinds of persons in this world. They are the faithful and they are the faithless. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Thus, it is faith, by faith, that man does not perish. It is not by the works of man that he does not perish, but it is by faith. It is not also by faith as a work. No, but it is by faith as an instrument. By faith as an instrument by which it may receive that which faith may take hold of. Thus, it is the matter which is received, which is believed, it is taken hold of in the heart, that is saving that soul from perishing. No, not of works. No, not of the work of faith, because if it may be of works or even of the work of faith, then it is impossible, because faith also is not perfect in the life of God's church. And that which is perfect cannot keep a man from perishing. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. Who is this woman? Rahab, that is a woman in the first place who is a Canaanite. The Lord has made a distinction. The Lord has made a separation. The Lord has taken His own people and He has set them aside as His own nation. This has taken place already some years before this time, 40 years ago, when the Lord has brought His children out of that land of Egypt, and the Lord has separated them, and the Lord has commanded that they may be a nation set aside by Himself. Then the Lord has separated them as the people of the Lord. And in that sense, then the Gentiles and the heathens, they are rejected. And this is now the Lord's people. But now we read about Rahab. Thus, even in this time, the Lord is searching out, the Lord is seeking out one that is not from among the children of Israel, but is from among the heathen nations. Thus, there is at this time already a looking forward to another time, a looking forward to that time when that middle wall of partition, that law of ceremonies that the Lord has now put between Israel and all the heathen nations, then there is in this moment a looking forward to the time that this wall of separation will be taken down, when the Lord is pleased in mercy to look upon this Canaanitish woman. Rahab, by faith, Rahab perished not with them that believe not. Is that what it says, children? Say, no, you have left out something. Because there is another word that tells us who this woman is. And the word is that, by faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believe not. Thus, who is this woman? She is a Canaanite, yes. But she is also, we read, in harlot. She is an adulterer. She is a woman that has set aside all restraint. She is a woman that is not sinning alone in the thought, but setting aside the restraints, she has also gone forth into a life of harlotry, into a life of adultery. That is not an easy life. There are those that understand that. Why is that not an easy life? Because that is a life wherein the conscience is always speaking. She had also a conscience. Say she did not know the law of God. Oh, it was written also in her heart. And time again, this harlot, Rahab, as she has pushed it out, she has pushed it away from her in order that she may continue on in this sinful way. Thus, a woman, she is not only a Canaanite, but she is a sinner among the Canaanites. We would say she is the worst of the worst. Or later on, then she will feel one with the Apostle Paul. When Paul says, of whom I am the chief. That is the life that that woman has chosen. Oh, what a deep pit. What a deep pit that man has brought himself into. A pit that he cannot and will not deliver himself from. But now, What do we see in this? Oh, we see something here of the power of the blood of Christ. That the Lord is choosing even this woman, not only a Canaanite, but He is choosing this harlot among the Canaanites. He is choosing the worst of the worst. He is choosing the chiefest of the sinners. And then He is showing forth something of the power, the great power of that blood that was shed upon that cursed tree. Then He is showing forth something of the power of that which He has accomplished here upon the earth. When He has by Himself made a perfect obedience, when He has by Himself paid a full price, then the power that will be shown forth in this world to give an expectation, to give a hope, to whom? To those that may find themselves in that place of Rahab. Are there some in the midst of us that are even as this woman? Then the Lord shows His mighty and His great power. Oh, it shows something of the great mercy and the grace of God at the same time. Not only His great power, but also that He is showing this unto an undeserving and a wretched creature in this world. By faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not. And the Lord, congregation, is using for this work, this great work, means. What is that means that the Lord is using in her life? She says, "For we have heard how that the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what He did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." What does she say? We heard it. It has come to our ears. Oh, what a blessing it is to hear. Oh, when this woman had never heard, then what? But how is the Lord beginning in the life of His children? Oh, the apostle says, faith cometh by hearing. And therefore, what a great blessing is that hearing. What a great blessing are our ears. What a great blessing is the opportunity also for the hearing. And then it is the hearing of the wonders of the Lord in this life. The circumstances of men in this world. The hearing of the news and the happenings of this world. The hearing of the might and the power of the Lord in this world. But then in a special way, the hearing of the word of the Lord, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And now in that hearing, in this hearing, something, congregation, has taken place in that life, in that heart of this Rahab. When she has heard this news, say that is natural, because that woman, she was just afraid. Will that do it? Will that do it when we are just afraid? Well, we have proof in this chapter that it does not do it, because there were more that were afraid. We read of them here. "And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." Thus Rahab was not the only one that was afraid. And if it is fear, if it is mere fear that is able to make that change in the heart of a man, then where are now the rest of these Canaanites? Where are the rest of those that dwell in Jericho? Where are those that are sending an ambassador unto the children of Israel? That are saying, we beseech you for mercy and let us live. No, there are not. Because mere fear, that does not work the work of the Lord. But the work of the Lord is something that requires so much a more powerful work that has taken place in this life of Rahab. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. What do you think, children? Was that just chance? So they had to come somewhere when they have entered into these gates, and they have to come and lodge somewhere. And it just so happens to be that they come upon this house of Rahab. Is that so? It is not so. How do we know that is not so? We know that in the first place because there is a man who you also know. His name was Boaz. To whom was Boaz married? He was married to Ruth. And from that marriage must come whom? The Lord Jesus. Well, Boaz also had a mother. Do you know who Boaz's mother was? Boaz's mother was Rahab the harlot. Thus, do you still think that it was by chance that these two spies come into this house of Rahab? No. No, the Lord in his providence, he is guiding everything. Because one day his son will be born into this world. And now it is going to be even through this harlot. Thus there is a reason. It is the almighty hand of the Lord that is guiding these spies unto this house of Rahab. Do they know it? Oh, for them, maybe it was just by chance. Maybe not. It can be that they knew that they could see that this woman wasn't a harlot. And thus to enter into her house is not going to cause any suspicion among these people. To enter into her house, that was convenient for them because they have known also that she lived on the wall. But now in a special way also the Lord knows who is living in this house. Because from the side of man, there is there in a sinner. But from the side of the Lord, there is there a concerned church. Or a sinner that is known by men. But the Lord sees someone else that is one of his own elect. And that is a woman that has something now lying in her heart. That is a woman that the Lord is going to gather in. And the Lord is going to take care also of this woman. We see that in our second thought, what the confession of this woman consisted of. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. The Lord your God. Know that she did not say, the Lord my God. But she said, the Lord your God. Thus congregation, the work of the Lord in the life of this woman. She has heard. She has heard of that people. She has heard of the wonders, the might, the power of the Lord. And now the work of the Lord in the life of a sinner, what does it do? Oh, that is not placing a person on the inside. No, but it is placing a person on the outside. The Lord your God. It does not actually place us on the outside. No, that is what we have done. We have done that in our father Adam. We do it day by actual sin. But what is now the work of the Spirit of the Lord? That is to show a man the reality of his life. That is to show a man who he truly is. Congregation, when we have made confession of faith, then we ask of you, did this set you on the inside? Or if confession of faith has set you on the inside, then that confession is more to you a curse than a blessing. Because we do not come on the inside by a confession of faith. And we see now the reality of the work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. A woman whose life is in danger. Did your life ever become in danger? Why is her life in danger? She has to die. And that is coming soon. She knows that. She has to die, congregation, because she is on the outside of the true people of the Lord. She has to die because God is against her. And because God is against her, she is not able to stand before Him. That is a woman whose life is in danger. Her life is in danger because the judgments of the Lord are coming. She knows this. She believes this with all her heart. It is faith. It is true saving faith that she has taken hold of in her heart by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. It is not good in the life of this woman. On the outside, and has to die and meet God. How is it in your life? Oh, when the judgments of the Lord are coming, and she sees that the death is coming, the Lord is driving this woman with it. But He does not only drive her, but the Lord also draws. Some are saved by fear, the apostle says, being pulled out of the fire. But the work of the Lord is to make a willing people in the day of His power. And what is the Lord doing in the life of this woman? Then the Lord gives to her a desire. Gives her a desire for what? Oh, that she may be joined unto this true people of the Lord. The Lord gives in the heart of this woman a holy jealousy for the Lord your God. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Oh, the heart of this woman and that is burning after the God of the children of the Israelites. That is not so in the life of her fellow man, or in her fear. Then there is also another part. It is that part that draws her over onto that other side. It is that part that gives her to forsake her idols. She does not trust those idols anymore. Those idols cannot help her. Why not? Because she has heard of the power of that true and that living God. And then all of her own idols, then she sees and she feels that these idols are dead. There is no power. She may cry to her idols, but they will not help her in the day of her trouble. Thus, in her fear, she does so different than her fellow men. They are all so fearful, and as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Yes, their hearts are also so very fearful. But grace makes the great difference between Rahab and the rest of those that are dwelling in her city. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. What a confession. What a blessed confession. What is that confession? What does she confess? That woman does not confess that she has faith. Does she have faith? Yes, she has faith. Does she know she has faith? She does not realize what it is. She only experiences it in her heart. Or to say, I have faith, that is actually a reflexive or a reflective act of faith. That is not given to everyone. That is not given in the beginning in the life of God's children. She has no basis, she has no foundation to say, I have faith and I believe in that God of Israel, therefore I am one of his children. No, no, she cannot see this in her own life. Does she have faith? Yes. What a blessed confession that she makes here of this faith. Not a confession that she has faith. No. So many have such a confession today. But what kind of confession is it? It is a confession of that faith itself. It is simply a confession of what she actually believes. And what does she believe? Oh, she comes to believe in the true God, the Lord your God. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Here is now the beginning of faith. Here is now the first object of faith that is of God Himself. Oh, may we ever come even to the beginnings of faith as it was in the life of this Rahab. That we may believe in the existence of the true and of the living God. What else does she confess to believe? And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. What is that? I know that the Lord has given you the land. There is a woman who believes that this whole land of Canaan that is given unto the children of Israel. And she says not I know that the Lord will give you the land. No, she says, I know that the Lord has given you the land. It is for her already finished. So certain is the exercise of faith in the life of the true church of God. Not only those who may be in the furtherance of that way, but also those who may be in the beginning of that way. Oh, then how firm is that true saving faith? There was a centurion. The Lord Jesus said of him, I have found not so great faith. No, not in Israel. 40 years ago, Israel, they are brought through the Red Sea by that mighty hand of the Lord. No sooner are they come, but a deliverance of the Lord out of the hand of their mighty enemy, whom they have experienced his power for many years behind them. No sooner are they delivered. And they have not the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed that the Lord will now bring them into that land of Canaan and send the hornet before them to drive out the Canaanites. That was Israel. And now this woman, two thick walls, are actually lying about this city of Jericho. And those two wide walls, did that woman know what they were? She lived on the wall. Did those two wide walls stand in the way of the faith of this woman? They did not. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. That is congregation through saving faith. And yet for herself, a woman who is standing on the outside of it. Let us sing 272 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, hear my prayer and let my cry have ready access unto thee. When in distress to thee I fly, O, hide not thou thy face from me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 272. Our last thought, the evidences of the truth of her confession. Shortcomings and weaknesses that are experienced with true saving faith, they do not take away from the truth of it. There came men unto me, but I wished not whence they were. It is written, congregation, in the Holy Scriptures. The failings, the weaknesses, the sin of that true church of God. A comfort to God's true church, that they may know how that it was in the heart and in the life of that church of all ages. And also a declaration of what? Of the foundation. Of the foundation of the salvation of God's church. Oh, the foundation that is not lying in that people. The foundation that is not lying in their obedience. The foundation that is not lying in their perfection. But that foundation is grace. Grace. That is unchangeable, that comes all from another side. Is that lie to be justified? That lie is not to be justified. We heard it. The end, the purpose, the goal, that does not justify the means or the way that we go about it. No, also this lie that needs to be forgiven unto Rahab. The best works of the true church of God, they are stained with sin. They are only by beginning in the life of that church here below. And sometimes faith that can take hold of the greatest matters, it can take hold of those things that have to do with the need of our soul. But it cannot leave in the hand of the Lord the smallest matters in this world. Peter may make such a blessed confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, then he may in that moment also lay his whole soul's salvation in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the frown of a maid, that is too much for him. But it did not take away from the truth of the faith of Peter. Thus, the weaknesses that are experienced in the life of the church do not take away from the truth of that true saving faith. Not only the weaknesses, but also ignorance. The ignorance that accompanies true saving faith does not take away from the truth of it. Because along with that faith, there will always be ignorance. That people, you say, they have faith. And faith that knows. Yes, that is so. Faith that is knowledge. That is as a witness. It is an evidence of things that we do not see. It is to know. How is it then that there is ignorance? Faith, congregation, does not know everything. No, faith knows, it believes something. David did not know everything, but David knew that soon Goliath would be lying upon the ground. Gideon did not know everything either. But he knew that soon that host, that great host of the Midianites would soon be routed. Elijah did not know everything either, but he knew and was sure that that barrel of meal and a cruse of oil that will not waste. No, faith with faith may be much ignorance, but it does not take away from the truth of true saving faith. So that is also here with Rahab. Because we read here of a scarlet cord. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. There is a woman, and we know we have to be very careful here. But the scarlet rope, we may believe, we may see a picture in it. Because 40 years ago, the Lord has given a picture in that solemn Passover. And when the children of Israel were required to be behind the blood upon the doorposts of the houses. And we hear language by the inspiration of the Lord himself that is so similar. And now this scarlet cord that is at least for us a picture, wherein this woman and all her household, they are not safe, not delivered from perishing unless they are behind this scarlet cord. And now this woman, she knows the importance of this thread. It is but small, but it is so very important. She knows the importance of it, but does she know all that is behind it? All the salvation of the soul of Rahab that is now in the hands of the Lord. And there is blood that her soul that is standing behind already. Because that woman, she is an elect vessel of the Lord. But there is now so much that that woman does not understand. Does she know about a mediator? Oh, she does not. There is no place yet in the life of this woman. And yet it is in the way of the Lord that she is placing herself behind this scarlet cord. Congregation, there is so much ignorance still in the life of this woman. And yet, it does not take away from the truth of that faith that comes from above. And therefore, we say the evidences. What are the evidences of the truth of her confession? It is not lying in its strength or in its weakness. It is not lying in its ignorance of many things. Wherein is it lying? That we may see the strength, that we may see the truth of this confession. James said that Rahab was justified by works. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Works. They are not the basis, no. But these are the evidences. Her works, what her life showed, they were now the evidences. And what did her life show? Oh, that was a woman who has put her life in danger in a very immediate way, because she has committed treason. She has taken the side of the enemy. She has gone over so completely to that side of the enemy. So then in the eyes of her people, had they known that it is a woman that had been worthy of death. But what does the Lord say? He that will lose his life for my sake, even the same shall save it. Here is now the evidence. The evidence in the life of this woman. Oh, that she believed that her soul that was safer in the hands of the God of the Israelites than in the hands of her fellow man and ruler in that city of Jericho. And this became evident. This became manifest in her blessed choice. This woman, she asks in the second place, or she requires a token. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. She needs a token. It is, congregation, the importance that is laid upon the life of Rahab. Oh, she cannot remain on the outside of this people. And therefore she says, swear unto me. Oh, swear by an oath. By whose name? Oh, not by the name of all my idol gods, no. But swear unto me now by the Lord. Swear unto me by that living God, by that God of the heavens and of the earth, that I will be delivered from death. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Oh, an evidence of the truth of the confession of this woman. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Oh, there is another evidence, because when the Lord will work, congregation, then it is not just for myself, but now I have a family. I have a husband, I have children, I have a father, I have a mother. And now her heart that goes out, her home that goes open. Maybe some mocked. We don't know. But we read later that they brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and all her kindred. And then finally, what do we read? We read that Rahab takes that cord, and she binds that cord in that window. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Oh, we cannot but believe that the faith of that woman was sorely tried. She has now to wait. She has now to wait. And that is a woman that has received the promise. And now she has to wait. And in a time of waiting, Satan's congregation, he is always busy. But what does that woman do? She takes that cord and she binds it in that window. And therein she is waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. For the Lord, my soul is waiting, and my hope is in His word, in His word of promise given. Yea, my soul waits for the Lord. Oh, there was congregation in that day, a family, people in the midst of Jericho who were safe behind a scarlet cord. And now there is also a people who are safe. They are safe behind that scarlet, that crimson blood that has been shed upon a cursed tree. Are you safe too? There is nothing in our life so important as to know that we are safe. Or do we even see our danger? Is it evident to us that we are in danger? And are we seeking, then as this woman, that we also may be safe? And are there people that are now waiting? That are waiting for that fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. And Satan, he will try it. But that woman, she was relying upon the promise of man. And their word was good. But there is a church that is waiting upon the promise of the Lord. And His word is sure. And therefore, they shall not be put to shame that wait for Him. Amen. Let us sing from Psalter 442. We'll sing stanza 2. 442, we'll sing just stanza 2 for the sake of time. What glorious things, O city of Jehovah, are spoken in melodious tones of thee. Lo, Rahab, even Babel, I will see, mid hallowed chorus singing, hallelujah. And verse 2 of 442. I now ask those who wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed, to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the Holy Scriptures. Second, do you promise by the grace of God to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourselves conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Fourth, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, John Stephen Gulliker? Yes. Ruth Marilyn Fader. Abraham Scott Den Hollander. Young people, you today make confession. It has been a long time and that we have been speaking of this, and that you have been looking forward to this time. Now, we may ask how. Because your words, they have been before men, and your heart that is before the Lord. And we have spoken often of the impossibility of the performance of these questions, these answers, this confession that you now have made. And then we can only wish for you that you may experience something of this life of Rahab. Not that you may live her life, because that was a life for which she became sorrowful. I wonder that she may become sorrowful for this life while she was still in this life, and did not sorrow over it to a never-ending eternity. And we have spoken about antinomians, how that they say, let us do evil that good may come, that it will show a more of the grace of God when we will live a outwardly wicked life in this world and the Lord will convert us. No, the Lord does not need to bring us back from an outwardly wicked life. No, we do not wish you the life of Rahab, but we wish that you may experience that indeed you are a Rahab. And that what Rahab lived out in her life, that is now what is lying in your own heart. Let not your confession set you on the inside. Because with Rahab, we need to experience that we are on the outside. And we need to experience also a desire that we may come on the inside. And when this may be in your heart as it was in the heart of this Rahab, oh, then the Lord, he will also fulfill that desire. And it is now the works. The works, they are going to tell the truth of your confession. As the works told the truth in the life of Rahab, the truth of the confession of her faith, also in an outward way, your works, your lifestyle in this world, the way that you walk before the community, that is also going now to show the truth of what you have promised in an outward way. But in a special way, inwardly, because it is the works that will show the inward desire, and then the fruits, they will be evident in your life as they were in that life of Rahab. May the Lord remember you. Congregation, let us stand and sing on behalf of these young people, Psalter 415, the fourth stanza, good and upright is Jehovah. In his dealings evermore, sinners are by him instructed in the way untrod before. And what follows in the fourth stanza of Psalter 415. Let us now close with a word of prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord, witness of all things and decreer of all things, thou who bringeth all things to a certain determinate end, also that which is taken place in this morning, wilt thou remember now these friends and that which they have done, oh, that thou mayst supply for them in it as it must become their life day by day, and that thou may bless it also for their further instruction, and that it may be to their eternal welfare, and that their desire to join the church in an outward way may have come from a desire as it was in the heart of Rahab. Lord, wilt thou bless thy word, dismiss us with thy blessing, and forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 362, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of 362. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.